The Gates of Horn and Ivory, by Francis Rosenfeld. Chapter 10. Spring Fever. As spring approached, Persephone started getting restless. She was startled from her sleep, shaken by the feeling she forgot something important, whose absence had consequences which were now piling up out of sight. Her daydreaming trips to the gardens got shorter, as she spent more and more time with Hecate preparing for her trip. Most of the hard work of spring was happening underground, quietly. While the dirt was still frozen, the seeds already started their labor of sprouting, and the old roots were patiently rebuilding their aerial parts. The dark earth concealed this fierce struggle towards the light, which lasted for months before being rewarded with results. All people ever saw was the miracle of spring, nature bursting suddenly back to life, happening incredibly fast, while Persephone, who looked young and delicate, like she'd never seen a day of work in her life, seemed too unlikely to be its enabler. Underground, the old-minded Persephone, the one with the dark eyes, worked assiduously to prepare and coordinate all the components of this apparently sudden miracle, counting, starting seeds, stalking, thinning. The usually sedate landscape of her garden was overrun with trays of seedlings set to hatch, which covered all the paths and the spaces between trees, and all the rivers of the underworld, with the exception of the Phlegethon, were drafted into assisting with her project. Hecate was a permanent fixture at the palace now, since the two always planned the next growing season together, and every table in the great hall was buried under sketches, plans, and crop rotation schedules. The most important part of the season planning, often accompanied by raised voices, was deciding which plant would get to be the belle of the ball that year. They all got to shine and catch all the attention for one season, and keeping the rotation record straight, to be fair to every species, was a monumental task, even for the gods. Persephone got instantly annoyed when she imagined what her mother must be thinking right then. She was sure the latter was still embroiled in some mourning ritual, decrying the loss of her poor daughter, who was in fact very much alive, certain her hapless offspring was trapped goodness knows where, experiencing goodness knows what, while Persephone, nose deep in work, couldn't breathe for hustling. By the gods, spring was an unexpected miracle every year, and its goddess, the young clueless one, just showed up at the end to claim her prize, gliding over the renewal parade like sunshine on butter. Miracle indeed. Hades knew to stay out of his wife's way during this time when she was always tense, with her mind elsewhere, too focused on her tasks to pay attention to anybody else. "I'm sure I forgot something," she paced while he followed her movements through the room from his chair. "Whatever it is, there will be another year," he tried to appease her. Not like 5 years ago, one hopes, Persephone's anxiety amplified. "It was a flood. It wasn't your fault. You'd think my mother could have thought that too. Your mother was frustrated because people blamed the crop failures on her. Don't take it personally. I worked myself raw to ensure that crop, with nothing to show for it. Nothing. They didn't even harvest enough barley for the traditional welcoming sheaf the next year. Why do you keep ruminating over ancient history? It's all in the past. Let it go. By all means, let's forget all the past disasters. Let them happen again and again and let us all wonder why. Persephone, did I do anything to deserve your ire? Of course not, I'm sorry. There's too much to keep track of and I'm sure I'm missing something. I'll listen if you want to work it out loud. That's great, thank you. Where are the temperature readings? I'm sure I saw that scroll somewhere on that table. Oh, yes, here it is. That's what I thought, there weren't enough chill hours this year, none of the trees will bloom and fruit. I have to ask Boreas to delay his departure. A few days should suffice. The world will be overrun by rue this year, thank you Hecate. I'm sure she wasn't partial to the magical usefulness of the plant at all, it has few other uses, and it's toxic. We'll have to keep it from overrunning the fields. On a lighter note, at least the basilisk will keep away for one season. I added an extra planting of winter wheat, that kaliva is delicious, we wouldn't want to run out of ingredients for it, which reminds me I have to schmooze Alios, reluctance aside, because last year's grapes were not sweet enough for wine, not to mention raisins. Also, with the war and all, More healing herbs will probably be welcomed. The war is over, Hades replied. Is it? Yes, they're on their way home as we speak. Oh, wait. I forgot about Apollo's plague. Yes, definitely more healing herbs. Why do they insist on perpetuating this pointless, destructive, vindictive bickering? Persephone snapped. Just the thought of having to go back to that festering. Okay, Hades interrupted her. Take five, Persephone, and breathe. Would you like a snack? Why does everyone think food solves everything? I'm ankle deep in blood, and my mother thinks my problem is I haven't had enough to eat that day. Can't hurt, Hades appeased. Give me it. Persephone grabbed the bowl of ambrosia from his hand and started chewing, nervous, talking with her mouth full. Last summer did a number on the olive trees. I don't want to be on Athena's bad side. She already thinks everybody is an idiot, and I have a feeling I don't rank very high on her list. I don't want to give her reasons to complain. I bet she's still bitter about Aphrodite winning that stupid contest, even after Troy was leveled. That lady can hold a grudge. What happened to the olive trees? Too much rain. Good luck complaining about it, that's Zeus's domain. Of course, she thinks her father can do no wrong, and therefore I'm the presumptive lightning rod. Good grief, wife. Is there anything that ever goes right? Well, I wouldn't complain about that, would I? We're anticipating potential problems and what we may need in order to preempt them. Henbane. I don't think I like where this conversation is going. For soothing pain. If I can pry any from the grip of Apollo's priestesses, that is. You will not grow more henbane, are you? Hades replied, shocked. There are no dangerous plants, my dear. Only people are good or bad. Plants just express their essence. I think you're spending way too much time with Hecate, wife. And gaining priceless knowledge in the process. Oh. I knew I forgot something important. I need to persuade the dryads to allow my Melissi to build more hives. Honey is good, no? I suppose. Hades paused. Is it always that noisy in your head? How do you function? What do you mean? She looked at him, surprised by the question. We all take the way we are as the baseline for normality and are always shocked to discover other people are not like us at all. That's probably why we find it so hard to relate to each other. Hecate entered the room, met by Hades's suspicious looks. He was still trying to find his bearings in this womanplant realm where references to deadly nightshade were run-of-the-mill. The latter bowed to Hades, as was the custom, and then turned to his wife, ignoring him. Are you ready, mistress? We're taking a tour of the marshes today, to assess the restoration progress. Have you forgotten? The mandrakes are in bloom, and they are a thing of beauty. Persephone, who had indeed forgotten, started fussing, and looking for a change of clothes, her mere state of agitation raising the temperature in the room. When she finally emerged, fully attired for the trip to the swamp, covered from head to toes in heavy burlap cloth and donning clogs, Hades gasped, shocked. From a distance, it was very hard to tell his own wife from Hecate. They looked like two peas in a pod. He instantly regretted his courteous comment about his wife looking beautiful even dressed in sackcloth, as he was staring at her wearing said fabric, which covered her limbs, her face, and her hair. Whatever was growing in that swamp better be mighty spectacular to warrant this sight. Who in his right mind wants to restore a swamp? People go to great lengths to get rid of them. It's not a swamp, it's wetlands, she kissed him, suddenly in a better mood, lifting her hood for only a moment, so he could recognize her. I'll bring you some mandrake flowers. And all this conversation about mandrakes and henbane and the gods only know what other noxious weed. He wasn't comfortable with it, not one bit. He knew that Hecate would be a bad influence, but what could he do? He needed the goodwill of the dark goddess of the crossroads to ensure safety for Persephone's yearly transhumance, and her knowledge of the portals to cross his beloved in and out of his realm. Like every other place in creation, the underworld ran on favors and affinities, and goodwill could not be bought with all the rubies in Hades. It had to be earned. Be careful, Persephone, he reminded her as she was leaving the room. Always, my love. She found it endearing that her beloved worried about her knowledge and handling of the dark herbs, since the plant kingdom was her domain, where she reigned as absolute queen, and its every denizen obeyed her without question and humbly sought her grace. Even the heavy cloth she wore had been gifted her by the nettles, the flax, and the hemp, which had sacrificed their fibrous stems to yield enough material to weave it. There were no good plants or bad plants. Unlike with gods and humans, in the plant kingdom everyone was good.